like these, you know, and they put them on their house and they put them on their tree and all that, but not me. I love the colored lights. It's the very reason why at Christmas time, I like to grab one of my kids and go to New York City to Rockefeller Center, because I love the colors of the lights there, the big Rockefeller tree, you know, and all the colors. I love that. I love to walk through Times Square at night. You can walk through Times Square any time of the year, and it's the most colorful place you've ever seen. It's like, it's really eye-catching. But I love especially the colors of Christmas. And what I especially like about the colors of Christmas is the opportunity to use them to tell people the real meaning of the coming of Christ. Now, of course, Christmas is already a great time to tell people about Jesus, because he's already on their minds. They're already thinking about him, right? They hear the songs. They go in the stores. They hear the songs. They turn on the radio, right? My kids know at least 3 radio stations that they can get that play Christmas music 24 hours a day, starting Thanksgiving Day and going all the way through Christmas. You know, so they hear these songs, you know, and not just the stupid Christmas songs, you know. I tell you right now, the 3 worst Christmas songs I think that ever were written were Santa Baby, Baby It's Cold Outside, and Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart, The Very Next Day You Gave It Away. And those are the ones that the stations play over and over, over and over. It's awful. But you hear those, and then you hear these. You hear Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Reindeer and The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. But let me tell you something. Those are not the only ones they hear. Not the only ones. For instance, I was in Walmart recently. I heard Away in a Manger. I heard Joy to the World. I heard O Come All Ye Faithful. And I heard Silent Night playing at Walmart. On Tuesday night, Pam and I and Kirsten went to River Falls Restaurant in Woonsocket to celebrate Kirsten's birthday. We finally got around to taking her out for her birthday. Her birthday was on the 1st, but we finally got around to it. And we listened to Andrea Bocelli sing O Holy Night. And so they're hearing these things already. They're thinking about Jesus. And then they hear the manger, they see the manger scenes, right? You can buy them in every department store. You see them everywhere, right? From the little wooden ones to the great big blow-up ones. I mean, they're everywhere. They see them in stores. They see them in front of churches. They see them on people's lawns, right? And so they're thinking about Jesus already, you know? And then there's always the TV specials and the movie. So they already have Jesus on their mind. Okay, and the colors of Christmas are a wonderful tool to use to tell people the story of Christ. And what's good about it is that they are a tool that any Christian can use, no matter their physical age or their level of spiritual maturity, right? Little children can use them to tell the Christmas story, teenagers, adults, and it makes no difference whether you've been saved for many, many, many years or if you're just a brand new Christian, right? And they're tools that any Christian can use to tell the story of Christ. And so I want you to think about this. I brought my special Christmas box. I shared this with the kids in school just recently. And I want you to think about the colors of Christmas. For instance, there's silver. Right? We see silver tinsel on trees, silver garland, right? Silver ornament, and we sing silver bells, silver bells. So silver is part of the Christmas story, and it's shiny. It's shiny. And it reminds me of the shiny star that the wise men followed. It's an important part of the story, but it is a reminder to us of the fact that Jesus actually came. He actually came. And not only did he come, but he came with a purpose. He came to be our Savior. Remember what the angel told the shepherds in the field that night in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's why Jesus came. Jesus himself told us that this was his mission in Luke 19:10 when he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus actually came and came for a purpose. This is not a myth. This is not a fantasy. This is not a fairy tale. This is not an allegory. This is the absolute truth. As Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world, and that's a wonderful thing in itself, but again, he came with a purpose. He says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's what the silver color of Christmas reminds me of, that shiny silver color. It reminds us of the shiny star of the wise men. It reminds us that Jesus actually came. He actually came. And then, of course, the next thing is the red color, which is the predominant Christmas color, right? Well, the red reminds me of two things. First of all, it reminds me of my sin. You know, we often use the color black to represent sin and the darkness of sin. And the Bible does describe sin as being dark. But when God talks about sin, he refers to it as being red. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Your sins are as scarlet, and they are red like crimson." And so the red color reminds us of our sin and the fact that we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 clearly says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is no way around that. We might as well just be honest about it. In Ecclesiastes 7:20, the Bible says, "There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." So we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. And if you don't think you're a sinner, you're just kidding yourself. And the Bible even says that. In 1 John 1:8, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So you might as well be honest, because you know what? God already knows you're a sinner. And I can guarantee you this, all your family and friends know you're a sinner too. They know. And I think deep down inside, you know you're a sinner as well. So we need to be honest with God about it. Red reminds us of our sin. But then, red also reminds us of the remedy for sin, which is Jesus' blood. In 1 John 1:7, it says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The red pictures the remedy for sin, which is the blood of Jesus. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." The red represents the remedy for sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off," that is, you used to be far away from God, "are now brought nigh by the blood of Christ." Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross for our sins. And when you combine that with the fact of the resurrection, you have what the Bible calls the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's the message that Jesus didn't just come to be born in a manger and to set a good example for us to follow or to teach us how to live. He came to shed his blood and die for our sins, bearing the penalty that we deserve. And so red reminds us of our sin and of the blood of Christ that was shed for our sin. And then white. White always represents forgiveness and cleansing. In 1 John 1:7 again, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I mentioned Isaiah 1:18, but I did not quote it. It says this, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So white speaks of forgiveness and cleansing from sin. In Psalm 51, when King David is confessing his sin to God, his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and his sin of causing the death of Uriah, when he's praying his prayer of confession, in verse 2, he says this to the Lord, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin." And then down in verse 7, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And so white speaks of forgiveness and cleansing from sin. God offers forgiveness and cleansing from sin. But you must understand this. It must be asked for. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Psalm 85:6, where it says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." You must call out for the cleansing and forgiveness that only Christ can give. In Romans 10:13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so white speaks of being forgiven and cleansed and washed from our sins, something that you can find nowhere except in Christ. As the old song says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And then, of course, when you believe in Jesus and you trust in him as your Savior, and you call out to him for forgiveness from your sins, what happens next? Well, that's where the green color comes in. Green, of course, is the color of the evergreen tree. It's a tree that's always green, even in the dreariest and darkest days of winter. Just step outside and look this morning. This is one of those dreary, dark days, right? And all the trees, the leaves are gone, but the evergreen trees are still green. So they speak of something everlasting. But green also speaks of life, because in the springtime, things come back to life. Gray and brown turn to green. The green grass comes up. The trees grow green leaves. All the little plants and flowers start out as green. It speaks of new life. So green speaks of everlasting life. And this is explained to us, of course, in the most famous verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16. Now you know that verse. Say it with me. Ready? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now think about that verse for a moment. It starts out by saying, "For God, the great God of the universe, for God so loved the world." Now, that is, he loved the world so much, and when it says world, it's not talking about the grass and the trees and the rocks and the dirt and all of that, right? It's talking about the people of the world. It's talking about you and me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Now, in that verse, some of the modern versions change it to one and only son. But that is not biblically correct. Because I too am a son of God by faith in Christ. We're all children of God when we put our faith in Christ. So that is not biblically correct. He is the only begotten son of God. The word begotten means after the flesh. See, you and I, as Christians, we are adopted children of God. But Jesus is the only son of God after the flesh. You know, it's the same way with Isaac begat Jacob and Jacob begat, all the begat. How many begats are there in the Old Testament? It's over and over, right? And so begat means after the flesh. Jesus is the only son of God after the flesh. You and I are adopted sons of God. And so he's the only begotten son. And it says that God gave him. Gave him to do what? Gave him to shed his blood and die on a cross for our sins. And to rise again. And then it says, and whosoever believeth in him. I love that word, whosoever. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a whosoever gospel. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. When I was a kid, my sister used to love to jump rope. I probably told you this before. She was like the jump rope queen, her and her friends, you know. And they would jump rope to this little ditty, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. Well, God loves them all. God wants them all to be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him. And that right there is the crux of the matter, the believing in him. You must put your faith and your trust in the only begotten Son of God. And when you do that, the promise is you will not perish, go to hell, but you will have everlasting life. You will go to heaven. And that really is what the story is all about. It's what Christmas is all about. When we believe in Jesus, we become a child of God, and we get to spend eternity with him, with him. And if we do that, if we honestly admit that we are hell-bound sinners, and we put our faith in the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day, and we ask him to forgive us and be our Savior, then we get to spend eternity in a great place described for us in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, where it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Praise the Lord, with Jesus as our Savior, we can spend eternity in that place called heaven. And the color that reminds us of that is gold. Gold. Because we're told in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 21 that in heaven the streets are made with pure gold. And that's really the message of Christmas. Jesus did not come just so we could sing Christmas carols. Jesus did not come just so we could exchange gifts. Jesus did not come just so we could decorate a tree. Jesus was born in that manger so he could eventually die on an old rugged cross to save sinners from the penalty of their sin and to get them into heaven. And that is the message that everyone needs to hear. It is the greatest piece of news ever to fall on human ears. There is no more important message for the world than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is our job to tell it to them. And the colors of Christmas are a wonderful tool that we can use at this time of year in spreading the good news of who Jesus is and why he came. And that's why I love the colors of Christmas. And I wonder, as I've shared these thoughts, if there might be someone here this morning who is thinking, you know, I've never thought about these things before. As I look at my life, I realize that I've never actually come to the point where I've made a conscious decision to call out to Christ and admit to Him my sin and ask Him to forgive me and cleanse me and be my Savior and give me the assurance of heaven. And if that's your situation this morning, then I'm here to tell you that that's your greatest need. And I want to challenge you. Why not today take this step of faith and call out to Christ right where you are right now? You say, Pastor, I don't know what to say to God. Let me help you with that. Wonder if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. And let me lead you in a word of prayer, inviting Christ to be your Savior. But I need you to remember two very important things. First of all, you don't need to pray out loud. Now, you can if you want to. You won't embarrass me in the least if you do. But God can hear the words as they come from your heart. But then number two, and this is the most important, becoming a Christian is not just a matter of repeating a few words after the preacher. This is not a magical formula. You must believe what you pray, because it's faith that makes all the difference. It's faith that makes it real. But if you've never done so before, why not pray along with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty for sin, which is hell. But I believe you shed your blood and died on the cross for my sin, and that you rose again so I could have eternal life. I now turn from my sin and place my faith and trust in you alone for forgiveness of my sin and for an entrance into heaven when I die. I now receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for making me one of your children. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look up here for a moment,